response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hey, welcome back in hour number three. Preview of hour number four, Eric Gunderson will join us at 9.05 a.m. So we'll talk with Gunny live from the toilet. He'll be joining us during his morning crap about the Blazers offseason and has it been crap. Looking forward to talking with him. I think largely everybody is feeling the same way. There's going to be people on, you know, the most doomsday side, and there's going to be people on the most extreme, like, this is going to be amazing. When Ja lobs to Dame and Dame lobs to Shade, and you're going to eat your words. Like, you got the extremes of both, but I think largely everybody's kind of in the same, like, if this is it, man, not great. We'll talk with Gundy with that about that at 9 a.m. Loaded second hour or third hour of the radio program. Jake Zivin's going to join us at 8:27. So we'll talk with the MLS star and soccer's very own Jake Zivin, who's back from a nice little vacation, a well-earned vacation. I believe him and Patrick will be teaming up again for Timber Fan tomorrow. So we'll have that back for you because the MLS is not that far away from coming back. The World Cup is speeding right through. Before we get off to our World Cup festivities to kick off the third hour of the radio program and we become soccer Brandons, I want to remind you that Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the Only Fan IPA. Available for a limited time, taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their Only Fan. So good, only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. Taste The Fan. That's a choice. Taste the beer. The beer is delicious. Right. The Only Fans has been out here, and we're excited to be with Binary Brewing. Taste The Fan? I don't know what you're tasting there. It's a lot of different tastes potentially in that can. But it is a delicious IPA, and it's a very well-designed can. So check out Binary Brewing, Beaverton location. Ask them about the Only Fan. And, again, taste The Fan. It's delicious. Let's kick off the third hour. Still haven't gotten a ruling on the Belgium appeal. Haven't seen any. Have you seen anything on that yet?
No.
Okay. So we get the red card. The red card leads to the suspension, the debate. The anger, the outrage, the preezy, the steezy clearly gets on the phone because somebody in his orbit's like, hey, man, our best player is gone. What? No. So he gets on the phone with his boys at FIFA. He says, I'm the Peace Prize president. You cannot suspend my guy. They then overturn the suspension, and it becomes this big, you know, we played Alejandro Moreno's cut from ESPN radio. He's like, this should, the USA should not feel good about getting preferential treatment. I would say, dude, it's just a little poll question in Portland, Oregon. But go look at the results of that. There's not a single person feeling bad that the USA is getting preferential treatment. You noted earlier, they've overturned it before. It's been a long time, but they've overturned it before.
It's happened before.
There are circumstances involved. I don't think they should have reviewed it and given him a red card. That's just my two cents.
I agree with you.
I've enjoyed watching the non-soccer fans watch soccer and get outraged about offsides and colors of cards as somebody that just watched a whole Premier League season. Welcome to the fold of yelling about soccer. I'm just going to say this, though, because the internet, I don't know if there's a bigger liar in the world than the internet. The internet makes us think that there's these feelings and thoughts of things that people don't all share, right? I'm going to use one as an example involving this. So the red card is overturned. We're going to get our best player back. He's going to play against Belgium. But now today, instead of just saying like how awesome or how unique this is, or should you feel shame, should you not feel shame, you've got the usual internet aggregated guys coming out and now turning this into American versus American thing. There are Americans rooting against this. Are you kidding me? You're an American. You're not an American if you don't root for this. Dude, it's not real, right? Like, somebody on the internet with an anonymous account being outraged that the president of the United States called in a favor and got our guy unsuspended, him complaining about that is not real. Like, we all want USA to win, do we not?
I hope so.
Okay. So, like, you can sit in your own little orbit and internet algorithm and think, oh, everything's political. It's all, oh, they hate him. Yeah, people don't like the president of the United States. Shocking, I know. Like, every president of my life has not been well-loved, mostly, in my lifetime. But this is the World Cup, and USA is on the verge of getting to the Elite Eight of the whole tournament. Like, yeah, dude, I want it overturned, too. I don't think she got a red card. It's not political. And anybody making you think that this is some political debate now, it's not. It's just, it's absolute internet fake fraudulent behavior. Don't believe it. Don't buy it. Everybody is happy that we've got one of our best players back. I don't know if the appeal is going to change anything, but everybody is happy about it. It's a fake outrage narrative being manipulated instead of just saying, hey, we're full strength against Belgium. Did we go in thinking we weren't going to beat Belgium without him, and now we've got him back and now we can beat Belgium? I think some people did. Yeah. That was going to be a hard player to replace. He's been awesome. He was awesome in the Bosnia game until he got ejected. So I'm super pumped about it. I'm super pumped about the soccer match tonight, 5 o'clock. And I'm excited with what the World Cup has delivered. It delivered us a weekend of spectacular sports. I mean, I really believe this. You don't have to really like soccer. You don't have to love soccer. I have come to appreciate football.
Same.
And what it is. I have a Premier League team, so that makes me enjoy it more. I love watching the Premier League guys, by the way, that are playing for their countries and watching people learn about some of the players, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I told you Erling Haaland, the name, to all the dirts in the world back in December, they'd be like, dude, shut up with your Premier League stuff. I'd be like, dude, I'm telling you, he's Erling Haaland guy. He's amazing. He looks different. He plays different. He is one of the best. He'd be like, dude, shut up. But now, in the World Cup, you watch Norway and Brazil, and it's the Erling Haaland show. He gets 2 goals. He's tied now for the golden boot with Messi, who plays today, and Mbappe. And they continue to advance. It's the furthest Norway's ever been. Do you know, by the way, Erling Haaland has played in 54 matches for Norway? He's 25 years old, right? So counting all the World Cup, non-World Cup stuff. 54. He has 62 goals.
Yeah. It's an insane rate.
62 goals in 54 matches for his country, and he's 25? I was asking Patrick this because Patrick loves soccer, and you know, we were texting back and forth about it. He goes, this is why football is the best sport now you see. And I said, well, it's not, but it's been a fun World Cup.
Yeah, it's fun in the summer when there's nothing else happening.
In some people, it's soccer and football, it's their favorite sport, and that's what's great about it, man. You can love the MLS, you can love English Premier League, whatever, you know. Whatever, however you consume it, that's totally fine. You got a lot of people that are not diehard soccer fans, even if they don't always love every moment of it or they miss the moment the goals are scored. My daughter is learning this. She's making a photo album. And so she has her phone that she's watching, like, you know, tutorials of how to make it this way or that way. And I have the Mexico-England match, which is just stellar television. Yeah. And, like, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. She's looking. She's like, oh, it's so boring sometimes. I go, I know, but sometimes they score when you never know it. And maybe 5 or 6 minutes later, the header that they got for England to have the first goal of the match happens. She happened to be looking down. I was like, oh! And she goes, what? Like, I think a lot of Americans, if they're not at live watch parties or having get-togethers, that's how they're consuming some of this, right? Like, the non-diehard soccer fan that's like scrolling the phone because there's been nothing happening. All of a sudden, goal! You look up, oh, man, I missed it. Like, obviously happened, right? I've had those moments. But that match yesterday in Mexico at Estadio Azteca was like, what a sight to behold. From England scoring the first goal of the match and then like a minute later getting the second goal, You're like, oh my God, they're down 2-0. To then Mexico coming back, scoring a goal, and then Harry Kane gets the penalty kick, and now you're like, it was 3-1, it's over. Second goal, and then Mexico's pressing at the end, and they're down a man, England is, so it's 10-on-11, and here you go, man. You had a corner kick, they brought the goalie down, like, it came down to the wire there. So, like, it's just been so, it's been such a payoff, right? It's not only been grasping at people or grabbing people of interest because of the internet videos of all the different cities that have welcomed these different countries in, the attendance, the country pride, the pride in Taco Bell existing, right? It's every single thing. It has touched some emotional state, I think, as a sports fan of pride and country. And you know, it's really, I think, captivated the world, and you're seeing the numbers play out. Like, this has been great, man. And even when America's not playing, I'm watching Mexico and England, and I'm like, it doesn't get better than this. This is as good a soccer match as I've ever seen. You've seen some of the elite soccer players. They've all delivered. I mean, the Golden Boot, literally a three-way tie for most goals in the World Cup between Messi, Mbappe, Haaland.
And Kane's right behind them.
And Kane is right. Dude, Kane has been awesome. He had a great assist on that second goal from England on top of the penalty kick that he got. Like, he has been carrying, he's helped carry England. I mean, it's delivered on every imaginable front that you would want it to deliver on. It has. And so, dude, don't let the internet make you think that, like, 50% of America is outraged that the president called in a favor for USA to get their best player back. It's not true. It's not. Everybody is super stoked. Everybody wants to watch USA beat Belgium and get to the Elite Eight and play either Portugal or Spain. Like, how cool would that be? The favorite coming in was Spain. We're going to be coming in red hot, feeling good. And then on the other side of that, you got Ronaldo.
His last World Cup.
We knew that going in. He announced it. Like, you would have so much interest, and I'd be the farthest they've ever got, right?
Yeah.
The quarters? So, yeah. Like, you're on the verge, and the World Cup has provided some kind of crazy out-of-left-field storylines. Paraguay, Cape Verde. Like, you've had some fun teams that people weren't expecting to do things that have gotten further than anybody anticipated. So, it's a lot like March Madness in the sense of, like, you've had some good upsets. You've had so many interesting matches. Then you get to the knockout round. Then you got Morocco being dominating. Canada gets blanked. Their manager's like, oh, I'd rather be us than them. It's like, dude, you're going home. Morocco's advancing. What an idiotic thing to say. Like, it really has been a throwback. And look, other World Cups have delivered, certainly.
Yeah.
But this one being uniquely in North America and getting more people, since it's our time zone, to watch more matches than maybe some do in non-North American years.
Right.
It's delivered. It's delivered in every way. Who is your Golden Boot? Like, not who is going to win the Golden Boot race. If I made you pick a Golden Boot, Harry Kane, Erling Haaland, Lionel Messi, Mbappe, who are you picking?
I mean, that's such a tough call. I want to say Mbappe, but that's hard because it's Lionel Messi, and he's been great, but great as in we weren't expecting him to still be this great.
We weren't. You're surprised by Messi still doing
just
this.
A little bit,
really.
But at the same time, I shouldn't be because he is Lionel Messi, and we've seen him in MLS kind of chop it up and destroy everybody here in the States, and now he's doing it on a world stage. That shouldn't be shocking to anybody.
And he could repeat. I mean, imagine Argentina repeating the World Cup,
which hasn't happened since '62. That would be a big stamp to his resume as well. But I love Kylian Mbappe's style. I like the way he's been scoring. Just kind of, there's that goal against Sweden where he got the ball on the backside of the goal, and he comes up, dekes a man with his foot, kind of wraps around the soccer ball and slides over and then shoots it in. It was just so smooth, and he just made it such effortless scoring.
Yeah.
And Haaland kind of has kind of done the same as well. But those, I mean, they're just, all three of those guys are just scorers, and they can just take over a game.
But they uniquely,
so quickly.
They, like Mbappe and Messi, more in line to me, just as a viewer, do it similarly.
Yes.
Whereas like Haaland doesn't he doesn't control the ball as much.
No, he's just kind of there ready to score.
When he gets his
score.
Touches, he scores. Yeah, like, he's going to header or he's going to boot it in with his left foot in the corner. Like, that's how that's – and then Harry Kane is more similar, I would say, to Mbappe and Messi, and they like controlling the ball and kind of setting guys up and then getting his looks and being aggressive. I think I would pick Mbappe. But I wouldn't blame anybody for picking Messi.
Messi's goal in the Cape Verde game, where he literally drops the ball on the first touch and then hits it off the bounce. Like, you don't see goals like that.
Yeah. Insane.
Over the goalkeeper's head. Don't see goals like that.
Who was it before Cape Verde? It was who did they play? I'm blanking. Was it Algeria?
Maybe.
He basically had a free kick. And he bent it around the wall.
Yes. Yeah.
And the keeper, like, I still maintain the keeper was in on the shenanigans.
It was Jordan when he came
in
off
Jordan,
the bench.
Jordan, thank you. Yeah. Yes. And he bent it around the wall. I don't even know how you make the ball do that. He just put some English on it, and it goes through, and the keeper misses it completely. And I'm just like, dude, like, how many players ever can do this? It's just insane what you're seeing. Anytime you get a sports league or get a sporting event and the best players deliver, it just makes the event that much better. That being said, Erling Haaland and Norway have been, I think, them and England, because France was a favorite.
Yep.
Argentina won the last one.
Yep.
Right? You still have Spain, Portugal here. I think Norway just getting the furthest they've ever been as a country, and the Viking row continuing with Erling Haaland leading the charge in the postgame. Dude, that's unbelievable. Who doesn't do that in their living room? I'm leaving the TV on after Norway wins just to get a glimpse of the drumming and the you.
Yeah.
Like, who isn't wanting to do that? I'm jealous. In fact, if I'm a Minnesota Viking fan, we've probably already stolen the skull, right? We stole that from somebody. Right. We had to have. I'm stealing this now. We're just going to become Norway of the NFL. We're doing the – and maybe they already do, and I don't know. All I know is the skull clap. But, like, I want to steal the Viking row. Like, I just think that's one of the best things you got in sports going. So, man, it is – it's certainly delivered. And when you get the best players to be able to play like this, and then you see yesterday, like, that sight in Estadio Azteca –
just the drama of it raining before the game.
Yeah, it
so
delayed
you have
it an
that
hour.
Effect
it was delayed an hour.
Yes, right. So you have that effect on top of it. You have England walking into
the most hostile environment.
Most hostile
you can
environment
have.
Where nobody has won.
No,
that's the only
it's
third.
Been 40 years?
It's only the third time they've lost in a World Cup match in that stadium.
That's insane.
So you have all that against you. You had the night before where they're shooting off fireworks outside of their hotel. It's just all of that wrapped into, and then the match delivers on top of that. It was just perfect primetime World Cup action that delivered on every level.
Takes stones to be an England fan in that stadium yesterday, I'd imagine.
And that's the kind of situation where England crumbles. Like, their past World Cups, they have crumbled in those types of situations. So for them to come out of with a win is huge.
I will say this. I haven't bet a lot of the World Cup. I bet England money line yesterday. I told Patrick I was rooting for Mexico. I'm betting England.
Yeah.
There was something about it seemed like everybody thought England wouldn't win that match. And then I think I got England at, I think it was plus 155.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, Harry Kane's playing pretty good. What's the 23-year-old kid's name with the two goals yesterday?
Jude Bellingham.
Yeah. I mean, like, and that's you're just learning more and more. Like,
but he's already a star.
A stud.
That's their dynamic duo. Those are the two guys.
Well, I love the whole, like, arms out, like, what now? Like, and that's what makes it feel...
In that arena, too.
It makes it feel a little different for England than in years past, right?
A little bit, yeah.
I took them on the bet, but I was rooting for Mexico, and then Patrick schooling me about why I can't root for Mexico, and I'm like, I got Mexican homies. I mean, I got to root for Mexico?
That's like you rooting for Oregon.
He said it's like being an Oregon fan rooting for UW. But I guess if I'm an Oregon State alum, rooting for Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel that way.
Right.
I'm not as entrenched in the non-World Cup dealings going on there. I just thought it was a really cool sight. Mexico had a really good run. And watching England and Mexico play and coming down to the wire, one man down, and you getting five goals scored out of it, I'm all in. I'm looking forward to today. I think it's going to be fantastic. We'll stick with today, the ruling to reverse the red card. USA's chances against Belgium going in and how the bracket is shaken up. Let's talk with our good friend Jake Zivin of Apple TV MLS coverage. He joins us coming up next for a World Cup conversation. Jake Zivin on 105.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I've won the fan. All right, welcome back in. 8:27 on a beautiful little Monday morning, July the 6th. Hope your 4th of July weekend was great. We're World Cupping right now. We've talked a lengthy amount of World Cup. USA and Belgium tonight, 5 o'clock. Before that, you've got Portugal and Spain. So the winners of those two matches will face each other as we roll on with World Cup action. And I thought it'd be really good fun to bring on a good friend of the station, the Timbers, and MLS soccer, very smart soccer guy himself, Jake Zivin, on Twitter, at Jake Zivin. Timber fan back tomorrow with Patrick Harrison, Jake Zivin, is where you can find him on social media, at Jake Zivin. Jake, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us, man. I know you're getting back into town and getting into the swing of things, but following the World Cup, what do you make of Balogun's suspension being lifted?
Sprague, it's wild. It's astonishing. It makes me feel like soccer has maybe kind of made it in the country now because everybody is talking about it, which we would never have thought would happen for a piece of soccer news. Everyone has their opinions now on what a red card is, what a red card isn't, about the video review process. But look, frankly, it's fairly amazing that this has happened. I'm actually driving up to the game right now. I'm on the road. I'm going to the game with a few of my best friends from high school who live in Seattle, from high school back in Evanston, Illinois. And so I'm not sure if there's any new information, but when I left this morning, Belgium is appealing. It's drama and that happens in sports. And it's important for the U.S. to have Flo Balogun if he's going to be available. He makes such a difference. But it's just the whole drama behind it. You never thought that there would be a soccer moment in this country that would just bring up so many people talking. In a way, all news is good news, I think, when it comes to the sport in this country.
Yeah, and I think I said earlier, like, I know the internet's trying to make people feel otherwise. I think most American fans and people rooting for USA, like, yeah, is it absolutely shady? Sure, but we want our best player, and we want him to not be suspended. What did you make of the red card as somebody that covers not only MLS, yeah, but you've been watching soccer a long time? What did you make of the red card and just the review process of deciding that he was going to be suspended?
Yeah, I thought it was a harsh red card. You know, the difficulty in those moments for the referees is that intention is not in the rules of the game. So the rules of the game are meant to worry about what a player does, not what a player was trying to do. And that's supposed to take judgment and ambiguity out of these decisions. But I think it also then leads to a moment like this where you look at a freeze frame, you look at super slow motion, and the result is something that's really dangerous. It's serious foul play. It could have broken the Belgian player's ankle. But when you kind of look back and you watch the whole thing and you watch it in full speed, to me, the Belgian player puts Balogun off balance. He goes through Balogun to win the ball, which is fair. But because he bumps into Balogun to get there first and get the ball, Balogun's off balance. He puts his foot down. The guy's foot is there. To me, it's not a red card because of that. And so I thought, really on video review, I'm not that aggrieved by the video review slowing it down and using a still frame. That happens all the time. You know, there's been those screenshots going around on the internet about how video review is supposed to be applied. That's a recommendation. It's not a steadfast law. There are things in soccer that are laws that IFAB is the governing body of soccer rules. They have a 100-page long rule book. They have laws. These are just recommendations, best practices, so to speak. But I think they did go a little too far into just slow motion and not kind of having the referee look at everything in full speed and kind of realize, hey, this isn't a red card. And again, to go to video review, which is only supposed to be for clear and obvious errors, I thought was really harsh. So I think it's the correct outcome of Balogun not being suspended, but I understand that the process is causing a lot of questions. And this is making the United States the villain. I mean, they've never been a villain in soccer, ever. And now there's pressure on the United States because the rest of the world hates us because they think we're getting favorable treatment. It's very interesting. Very interesting all around.
Yeah, the World Cup rolls on. Jake Zivin, our guest here, Apple TV's very own. Obviously, one of the lead voices of the MLS on Twitter, at Jake Zivin, going up to Seattle for USA and Belgium. How do we just feel about the matchup? I know we've got Balogun playing. Yeah. The suspension's been lifted. I look on, you know, look, I'm not Mr. Know-Everything-About-Soccer guy. If I was to look at, like, odds, it makes it seem like the USA's a slight favorite, but largely they're kind of in the same wheelhouse. How do you feel about the matchup with Belgium, knowing Balogun's going to be out there, it being in Seattle? You know it's going to be absolute madness up there. Yeah. You're not wrong on saying we're the villain, but there's going to be a lot of red, white, and blue, and so just how you feel about the matchup against Belgium?
It's going to be an incredible atmosphere, first and foremost. That's going to help the United States. I can't wait to be up in Seattle. I know there's going to be a ton of people from Portland coming up to Seattle. The Pacific Northwest is the heartbeat of soccer in this country. I'm so glad this game is being played in the Pacific Northwest, even if it's in Seattle. You know, I know some Timber supporters hate Seattle. But look, we're all brothers and sisters in this in the Pacific Northwest. Belgium's good. This is the best team the United States have played. You don't count the Turkey A game, because of the, you know, they rotated everybody and they'd already won the group. Belgium beat the United States 5-2 in March in what we call a friendly, essentially an exhibition game. Wasn't in a competition, but it was, you know, these are still important games and people are trying to win these games. The U.S. had a slightly different group out there. Belgium gave the United States a lot of problems as the game went on. Their quality really showed through. They have a winger named Jeremy Doku who plays for Manchester City, who's one of the most dangerous players in the world, one of the best kind of 1v1 players in the world, and the United States had a really difficult time dealing with him specifically in that game. But look, the Belgium has not looked great in this tournament. They haven't looked super confident. They haven't looked in control. They needed a miraculous comeback against Senegal, who collapsed at the end of their game in the round of 32. Belgium was down 2-0 in the 85th minute of that game. It's the first time a team has ever been trailing by two goals at that point in the game in a World Cup and won the game. And Belgium came back to win in extra time. So they look vulnerable. But this game, this type of opponent, this is what all of us that have been so invested in and are so around United States soccer for so long, this is what we've been waiting for in this tournament, because this is where we expect and everybody expects the U.S. to be, in the round of 16. They usually get to the round of 16. And then they usually meet a traditional, bigger soccer power, and they go home. And so to see, hey, is there progress in United States men's soccer? Is this, can they compete? Can they get to that upper echelon? They got to win this game, I think. And we want to see them win this game. Man, it's not going to be easy, but I do think slight favorites is probably right, given how the teams have looked in the tournament and given that the United States is going to have a massive home field advantage in Seattle. I can't wait. I can't wait to see if they can do it, if they can beat one of these bigger European teams in the knockout stages of the World Cup for the first time.
A lot of people went into the World Cup, you know, I think purists of the World Cup and soccer football diehards of just like the expansion part of the tournament. And I know there's been rumors they might expand even more, right? We see the NCAA tournament is growing year after year in basketball. And I know it was talked about going in, but, you know, in a weird way, I feel like it's delivered, has it not? The expansion of the World Cup, including more teams, learning more stories about new countries, making fans, you know, giving them the opportunity to travel wherever the World Cup ends up being. So, like, where were you at pre-World Cup on the expansion, and where are you at now with the World Cup kind of getting down the Elite Eight?
I would say I didn't love the expansion, just like with the NCAA tournament. You know, I think you want to keep it tight. You don't want to dilute a competition. It's a little different, though, because it's once every 4 years. You know, the NCAA tournament is every year, and you play a full regular season to whittle the teams down to the tournament anyway. it's a different type of situation. It's been a huge success. I love it. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. It's been nearly perfect. And I actually think they have to expand to 64 now, because I think the worst part of this expansion was the whole 8 of 12 third place teams get in. Where are you in the third place ranking? By the time the last game in the group stage ends, those teams that are going to finish third know what they have to do to pass up the teams that are already finished. You've got, you know, not being able to project the matchup in the round of 32 because there's 480 permutations of who your opponent could be depending on which groups the third place teams come out of. It was a little complicated. I think go to 64 teams. There's clearly enough talent in the world for that. 16 groups of four teams, top two from each group go. It's simple as to how you get to the next round. It's simple what your matchup's going to be. Puts more drama on the final day of the group stage, gets back to being that drama we know. And I think we've proven it's not going to dilute it that much. You're going to have these stories of Cape Verde, who may have qualified if there was only 32 teams, by the way. They won their group in African qualifying. So maybe it's a little unfair to use them as that example, but even Curaçao in that game where their goalkeeper, Eli Room, had 15 saves. You get these wonderful stories because of the expanded World Cup. So I think go to 64, and it'll continue to be a success.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing if USA can beat Belgium, and then, like, do they play Portugal or they play Spain? That's obviously that's going to be a huge conversation. But I would say, if I was to take off the red, white, and blue glasses, Erling Haaland against Harry Kane, we get Norway getting as far as they've ever been with England, who seems to be in a position of, like, people thought they'd lose to Mexico. They come out, get two quick goals in the, you know, the 30th, 36th, 37th minutes, I think, is when they scored them. End up winning a little bit of a shootout in 3-2 in Estadio Azteca. I'm really looking forward to it. I put a poll question up. I know the golden boot is about who scores the most goals, but who is your golden booter? Messi, Mbappe, Haaland, or Harry Kane?
Oh, man, it's hard. I think Mbappe is going to be there at the end because I think France is going to win the whole thing.
So do I.
But Messi's not going to stop scoring. I worry about Argentina getting past the quarterfinals and potentially Colombia. I think it could come to the end for them there. But, man, I think it's the best golden boot race we've ever had. It's going to be fascinating to see how all of these superstars finish off this tournament. It has been a tournament of superstars. And, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, there's nothing more you could ask for. Jake Zivin, Apple TV's very own, MLS's very own, getting ready to head up. He's on his way to Seattle now as USA-Belgium. We got a 5 o'clock kick over there at Lumen Field. World Cup action, man. Country's been, I think, captivated by the World Cup. It's been great. It's been interesting. It's been controversial. And USA being involved in all of that is what makes it better. Follow him on Twitter, at Jake Zivin. And Timber Fan is back tomorrow. Do I have that correct?
I got to talk to my man, Patrick.
Okay.
We'll figure it out either tomorrow or next week.
I think that's more about how drunk do I get because USA's beaten Belgium.
I plead the fifth.
There we go. Good stuff. Thanks for joining us, Jake. We appreciate it.
Cheers, Brandon. Cheers.
All right. There we go. Good stuff. Jake Zivin, Apple TV, MLS's very own. He's on his way. I'm jealous. I am. I'm being serious, man. I think I'm going to talk to the wife today and see if she wants to go to like a World Cup watch party somewhere. Just ditch the kids. I'm like, dude, you guys can fend for yourselves. You know how to make macaroni and cheese. And I'm pumped for it, man. I don't care about being the villain. I'm used to that. Like, whatever. Lean into it and let's beat Belgium. I've known Jake Zivin. Like, not known. I'm, like, not going to pretend that we're friends and we text all the time. I've known Jake Zivin a long time. In fact, Jake Zivin worked at KEZI down in Eugene for a few years. He was working down there when I had just graduated college. And I was covering Oregon State for my first year out of college for now defunct Comcast Northwest. And I had to get to know, you know, I was around all the media members. I don't want to be the odd duck, so I'd get to know everybody. Him, Steven Nelson, Phil Milani, Paul Bucher, dude, just all of the guys that were around the general OSUB. So it's been really cool to see somebody that I met years and years ago in my 20s that was, you know, grinding away down in Eugene Regional Television he's become one of the big voices in American soccer, and he's one of the lead guys for Apple TV. And so just really cool to see the growth of other people's careers and root for people instead of being jealous. And Jake is a genuinely good dude. So I'm sure he's going to have a good time up in Seattle watching USA try to take down Belgium.
It's exciting. It's exciting. Go to a watch party if you got one. I know we're doing a family one. But if you want to go to Providence Park, check it out there. That's going to be a scene. But yeah, watch the game. Like, if we're going off a 4th of July weekend, keep that spirit going. Watch the game tonight.
Yep.
Like, be a part of history. Whether we win or lose, this is a historic moment for this soccer team.
People are stoked about it, man.
And it's gonna be a scene. If it's anything like the World Cup has been so far, yep. This is a game you don't want to miss.
And that stadium is going to be loud, as yes. American football fans will tell you. That place can get loud with the 12s. I'd imagine that's what's going to happen today. All right, we got a lot more to get into. Eric Gunderson coming up at 9 a.m., 9:05 to be exact. So we'll talk Blazers with Gundy. Got some poll questions up. Dirt and Sprague, we roll on 8:42.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
On the fan. If you text Zach, that's Z-A-C-H-Z-A-C-H to 503-864-6326 now, you can enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Zach Bryan on July 25th at Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. Head to 1051thefan.com for complete details. A pair of tickets to Zach Bryan on July 25th at Autzen Stadium, 503-864-6326. Text Zach, Z-A-C-H. And you can try to get a pair of tickets to Zach Bryan. Do you listen to Zach Bryan? Are you a country music guy?
Again, I tolerate country music. I don't say I seek it.
What do you seek? What's your musical
taste? I'm R&B, hip-hop.
R&B, oh yeah, so, Breezy. Know, we talked about this earlier. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Breezy over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I used to be a hip-hop dance teacher in college, and so that's kind of, yeah, I know, yep.
What?
Blow your mind there. Yeah, yeah.
You're moving and grooving?
I taught at a dance studio down there, yeah.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. You can Superman that?
Yeah, I know how to.
All right. Man, yeah. We're going to have to bust this out on the YouTube at some point. See, which one of between me and Dirt, which one can pick up your dance moves?
Yeah.
Like, who can you instruct better? That would be some good YouTube content.
No, it's been a hot minute since I've been doing that. But yeah, no, hip-hop, R&B. Again, country, I can have a vibe like Morgan Wallen, I'm a big fan of.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I had my cousin, my wife's cousin, but I consider my cousin. He's a lot younger than me. He's in his young 20s. And normally a guy that's like super into a lot of rap mostly.
Right.
Got in the car with him a couple weeks ago, blasting country. I'm like,
oh yeah.
What's going on here?
Who are you?
What's happening? You're still smoking joints, but now we're doing country music. He's trying to get a hat now and boots. I don't know what's happening. I don't know at all, but it's happening nonetheless. Zach Bryan at Autzen Stadium, July 25th. Eric Gunderson's going to join us coming up here at the top of the fourth hour of the radio program. Put some poll questions up at Dirt and Sprague if you want to go vote. Last one was choose your golden booter. So this is, to me, I keep saying this in a way that I think people are trying to guess who's going to score the most goals. Just who have you been most impressed with is what I'm trying to ask with that question. Lionel Messi, Kylian Mbappe, Erling Haaland, and Harry Kane. Harry Kane's got zero votes. I mean, I get it, but like, also he's been amazing. He's helping carry England. Other poll questions up today, because we got a few up there on the old show sheet, or the Twitter machine, I should say. If the Blazers just sign a wing to a vet minimum contract, will you be okay with their offseason? Yes, no, F no. Right now, no is leading the way. Should the Marlins manager Clayton McCullough be loudly shamed for pulling a starting pitcher who had a perfect game through 7 innings? Yes or no? Yes is dominating that one. And we had one more. Should U.S. soccer fans feel bad about getting preferential treatment with FIFA allowing Florin Balogun to play against Belgium today? No, hell no, or yes, hell no. Running away with that. By the way, Patrick is really going to have the zigging and zagging of takes based on our conversation last commercial break.
As I expect.
We got a little bit of free agency news. Rui Hachimura. Shams Charania, 20 minutes ago. I missed this.
Yep.
Rui Hachimura, 2 years, $28 million deal to stay in Los Angeles with the Clippers.
Not the Blazers.
Hmm. 2 divided by 28 is 14. Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Okay. I wanted him. Didn't get him. Rui Hachimura could have been in a Blazer uniform. What are we doing? I guess that wasn't on the whiteboard for Rui Hachimura.
Yeah.
Where's our whiteboard, by the way?
I know. I would love to see a whiteboard of what we're thinking.
You know, you can hate LeBron James. I'm used to people hating LeBron James. And in some aspects, I kind of get it. Nobody has done more entertaining, random, dumb stuff than LeBron in his orbit. A whiteboard with his name and all of these destinations. And then Blazer fans were photoshopping Denny, Dame. I was like, yes, that's what the internet's for. Photoshop us onto the whiteboard. 2 years, $28
million. I feel like we could have afforded that.
We're going to sign Matisse Thybulle, dude. We're going to keep the Bucks picks. We're going to use them in 28, use them in 30, use them in 31. We're going to do this, aren't we?
Probably.
And we're going to be the 7th seed again. We'll go, yay!
Yay, we made the playoffs.
The Thunder only beat us in 6. That's one game more. Yeah. John Morant's going to average 23 points. He's going to shoot 32% from 3. Dame's going to average 17.7 points per game. Drew Holiday's going to be traded at the deadline. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm not freaking out right now at all. No way. Over Rui Hachimura. I would never. Get out of here. That's a good deal. I like that deal. I think Rui Hachimura is a good basketball player.
Yeah.
We gave, what's his nuts? Collins guy. What's that guy's name? McIntyre. Right?
I think so.
You know what I'm talking about? His update anchor? And he was like years ago. He's like, Colin, Rui Hachimura, second round pick. Like, what? No. What are we talking about here? Good deal for the Clippers. Whiteboard be damned. We will talk about the Blazers, and we'll kick it off hour number 4. Eric Garcia Gunderson, Blazer Banter, the Blazer Banter newsletter he sends out. It's delightful. I argue with him all the time. But we'll talk about the Blazers offseason. Rui Hachimura is off the list. Eric Gunderson, hour 4, Dirt and Sprague, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.